You can take your Bibles tonight, and we're going to go to Matthew chapter 12. We'll start in verse 40. I've entitled tonight's teaching, He is Risen, because tonight we're going to look at some of the gospel records regarding Christ's resurrection and what happened on what we call Easter Sunday today. These follow some of the principles that we've been recently looking at in terms of scripture buildup and similar versus identical and all that good stuff. So Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, it says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Right? We know this is not going to be a teaching on that particular topic, but we know from the word that Christ was to be dead and entombed for 3 days and three nights. And that's 72 hours. So, working it all backwards, we've been taught that Jesus Christ was crucified on a Wednesday, the 14th of Nisan, and that his resurrection, therefore, would take place 72 hours later, which would be on a Saturday, the 17th of Nisan. And that, as we will see tonight, when folks came to look for him Sunday morning, he was not there because he had already been resurrected. Let's skip ahead to Matthew 27:57. So while a lot of people believe that Jesus Christ got up on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, it's really Resurrection Saturday, right? That's when he actually got up. In Matthew 27, verse 57, it says, "And when even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple." Well, this is just after Jesus Christ was crucified, when the evening was come. Joseph comes and he goes to Pilate, verse 58, and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth, and he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. So they were there watching what Joseph had done. So they knew where Jesus Christ had been entombed. Verse 62. "Now the next day that followed the first day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto people, He is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. And Pilate said unto them, You have a watch. I've granted you a watch. Go your way and make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch." So Joseph had rolled the stone in front of the tomb, and they went the extra mile and sealed that tomb and put guards out in front because they did not want anyone stealing Jesus' body and claiming that he had indeed risen from the dead. That's what they were worried about. So there are now guards there. In verse 1 of chapter 28, it says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week," so the first day of the week is Sunday, just like it is today. And the word dawn there is actually the word epiphosko in the Greek, which is dusk or twilight. So it's improperly translated dawn there. It really should be as it began to dusk toward the first day of the week. So we know the Jewish calendar on the days, they start in the evening at sunset. So that's why it was toward the first day of the week. The sun was setting, dusk was coming. This makes it Saturday night. That's when came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Okay? So this would have been Saturday evening. So they were there the day that, or that evening after he was crucified, and they saw Joseph where they put the body and he put the stone in front of it. Well, they come back. The two Marys come back. And most likely, almost assuredly, they would have found it guarded because they set the watch and they set the guard. And it's not recorded here or in any other gospel, but we assume they didn't try to fight the guards and they just went home. Okay? They came back, they see guards, and they most likely would just come, you know, go home. In terms of all of the timeline that we're going to look at tonight, Matthew, in general, as a book, is not in chronological order and does a lot of summarizing and a lot of, like, individual small sections that mean bigger things in general when you read Matthew. And this verse is similar in that it stands alone in the timeline. This is kind of its own little thing, just to say that Mary, the two Marys came out there Saturday night to kind of check things out and likely would have found it still guarded. So you can leave a ribbon or finger here because we will be back. But the next thing that happens is recorded in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Verse 1. As we know, all four Gospels often record verses about similar events, and you have to kind of use them all to piece together the complete picture, which is what we'll be looking at. So John 20, verse 1. This verse says, the first day of the week. Now, what's the first day of the week? Sunday. So the two Marys were there at dusk, as it was becoming the first day of the week. So that would have been Saturday evening. This is different. This is the first day of the week. And it is now definitively Sunday. Cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark. So again, we know that the days started after sunset. So this is early Sunday, which would probably be like before midnight. She came back in the dark. And it doesn't say there was anybody with her. It just says Mary came unto the sepulcher and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. So now she shows up on Sunday, the 18th of Nisan, in the dark and sees the stone rolled away. And then she runs and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher. And we know not where they have laid him. Now the "we" there is improperly placed. It's likely because translators saw that there was two Marys in another spot. But the "we" there is the word for "I" in Aramaic. I don't know where they put him. She was there by herself. She comes back to tell Peter and the other disciple. And she thinks the body's been taken. She showed up earlier and there were guards there. And then she comes back, and now the stone's missing, and she thinks they have taken him. So we're going to flip back to Matthew now. Matthew 28. She doesn't know why or how the stone is not there now. Well, Matthew 28, verses 2 through 4 is what we're going to read next. And this explains how the stone was moved. But remember that the women are not there. This takes place in between the two things we've just read. Two Marys show up, they likely find guards there, they see the sepulcher, they leave. Mary comes back later in the dark, maybe she's hoping the guards are asleep, but now she sees the stone rolled away. And this is why, because verse 2 says, and behold, and that word behold is a transitional word, meaning that it's a new topic, so that's what separates it from the first verse. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers or the guards did shake and became as dead men, which means they fainted. Right? So, if these immediately happened after verse 1, then the Marys would have seen the stone roll away. They would have seen the guards faint. They would have known how the stone wasn't there anymore. But we know from John that Mary came back in the dark and found the stone rolled away and wasn't sure what had happened. She thought someone had taken the body. So that's how we can deduce that the Marys were not there when all this happened. So sometime between those two visits, the angel shows up, the earthquake happens, the stone rolls away, and the guards are fainted and presumably flee because she doesn't find the guards there in John. All right, so we'll flip back to John. Only the guards are there to witness the stone rolling away, and they faint and then take off. So back in John 20, we'll read verse 2 again. Then she runneth to come to Simon Peter and the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him, or I know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. Again, this is after dark, so they come, they're obviously still awake, but they come and they go and check out the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went in the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin which was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, and there he didn't go in at first, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and did what? Believe. Now this is important, because as we read on here, we're going to find out there wasn't a whole lot of believing. But he believed. Verse 9. For as yet, which is to say, up until this point, they knew not the scripture, or they understood not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. So even though Jesus was telling them all throughout his ministry, and especially towards the end, what was supposed to happen to him, that he was going to rise again, it wasn't until this point that they really understood what he was talking about, that he was going to rise again from the dead. So that disciple who came first, he believed and began to understand what Jesus Christ was teaching. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. Right, so they go back home to go to sleep. We'll continue verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. Now remember, the disciples ran ahead. Right, Peter and the other disciple, they ran ahead. So Mary catches up, and she stands outside the sepulchre weeping. Remember, she thought they had taken the body. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. This was after Peter and the other disciple left. So she looks in, and now she sees two angels in there. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. So she's convinced somebody stole the body, and all she wants is for Jesus Christ to have a proper burial. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Why are you crying? Who do you seek? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him thence, if you have taken him away, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. So again, this is all taking place kind of, you know, some probably before midnight on that Saturday, which would be their Sunday. So the disciples run down. They don't see anything. The one believes. Peter's still, oh, what's going on here? And they leave. Mary ducks her head and sees two guys who are angels, but she just thinks they're guys in there. Where did he put them? Turns around, asks the gardener, who happens to be Jesus, where did you put him? And then realizes it's Jesus. And he tells her, go back and tell them, I'm risen. Verse 19. Well, actually, no. We're going to stop there in this part of the record. Go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. So the first recorded person to actually encounter the risen Christ is Mary. Mark 16, verse 9. And she had already been to the sepulcher twice. Once with the other Mary, and then once by herself. Well, actually, that's the third time, because then she runs back with the disciples and sees and encounters Jesus. So Mark 16, verse 9, it says, now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, and this is where we get a lot of the tradition and a lot of the confusion comes from, because it appears as though that this is risen early the first day of the week, comma. The comma was not in the original text and is misplaced here. The comma really should be after the word risen. Now, when Jesus was risen, which happened Saturday, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. That's how it happened. Very early the first day of the week. So that Saturday night as we know it, or early Sunday as the Jewish calendar reckons, he shows himself to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed what? Not. So they didn't believe her. So she comes back, says, I saw Jesus, and he told me to tell you guys that he's alive. And they said, yeah, okay. Sure, Mary. Now this is a parenthetical aside to explain what happens in the next verses we're going to read, which is 1 through 7 here. So chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, so the Sabbath was Saturday, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and someone else, Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at what time? At the rising of the sun. So this is now the fourth time Mary is going to come. First she came with the other Mary, then she came by herself and saw the stone rolled away, came back to Peter, and then came with Peter, the disciple, and then Jesus showed up. And now she's coming again, this time with another, with Mary and Salome. But they're coming as the sun is coming up, Sunday morning. And they said amongst themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Okay, so the they here is referring to the other women that are with Mary. We see below in verse 11 that they believed not. Mary had come and told them what happened, and they didn't believe her. So Mary, the mother of James and Salome, they're coming to anoint Jesus. They're coming to do burial work for him. And they're like, who's going to roll away? How are we going to get in there and actually do this? Who's going to roll away the stone? Because they don't believe Mary Magdalene that he's actually up. But they come and they find the stone rolled away. Verse 5, and entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, And they were affrighted. They weren't expecting to find anyone in there. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him as he said unto you. Okay? So this takes place at sunrise, and it's now the fourth time that Mary Magdalene's there. Maybe she said, told you so. I don't know. It doesn't say. Luke 23, verse 50. So those verses 9 through 11 that come a little bit later are kind of like a parenthetical aside to describe what had happened the evening before and why the other women were coming in that morning. Because they did not believe Mary when she came back and told them. Luke 23:50. So this is Luke's accounting. We're going to get a running start. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, the city of Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went up to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they refers to the last known pronoun, which is the women. They returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So the they are the women. We read that the other Mary and Salome, they came with spices to anoint them. So this all jives. Verse 1 of chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. So they is continuing on from the previous chapter. This is the women. And they, the women, found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Okay? So that, again, jives with what we read in the other verses. Now, here is new information, because it says, and it came to pass. And that is a phrase that means some time has passed. And this takes place after what we just read in Mark 16, 5 through 7. So when they went in, they saw one man in there who was an angel, and he said, he's risen, go tell everybody. So, and it came to pass, this happens after that, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. So there was one guy in the previous section, said, Jesus is risen, go tell everybody. This is a continuation of that particular event. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, they were perplexed at what they had just been told by that angel. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth and said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And so the angel that's in there, in the tomb, when they first go in, tells him he's risen, go tell Peter. So they go outside and they're like, what the heck does all this mean? And then two more angels show up and they're like, hey guys, remember what he told you? And they were like, oh yeah, I remember now. So it takes two more angels to really get the point home, but they remembered his words. All right, you can leave a ribbon here. We're going to go back to Mark 16. There was one more verse we didn't read, because that one verse happens next. Mark 16, Mark 16, 8. So seven left off with the one angel in the tomb telling them that they should go tell the disciples. We get more information in Luke that two more angels tell them, hey, you should go tell them. And so verse 8, they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid or in great awe. So they run back to finally tell the other disciples that the angels kept telling them, please go tell the other disciples. And they run straight home. They don't stop to tell anyone else. That's what it means when it says they said anything to any man. They didn't tell anybody on the way. They went straight back because they were in great awe of what they had seen. All right, so that concludes the record in Mark there. So back to Luke 24, verse 9. And returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. All right, so that one verse 8 is kind of right there in the middle. They run back. They don't tell anybody on the way. They're in great awe. In verse 9, they returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Guess what happened? Guess what we saw? There were angels there, and they said he was risen. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as what? Idle tale. Oh, it's just the women being women again, spinning yarn, telling stories. And they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering or considering in himself at that which was come to pass. So this is now Peter's second time, right? He ran down there with that other disciple late Saturday evening to us, early Saturday to the Jewish peoples, and he saw the napkin and he whatever, but only the other disciple believed. And now Peter is told by all the women, hey, he's not there, he's risen. So he goes back and takes a second look for himself and considers what was reported. Verse 13. And behold, so another transition of time here. And behold, two of the disciples that went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. All right, so where are we in time right now? Early Sunday morning at the rising of the sun, the women come, they meet one angel, they meet two angels, they return back home, they tell them, say, hey, this is what we've been told. The apostles, disciples, they don't believe them. And two of them are now on their way to Emmaus. So this is sometime, probably before noon, they're walking to Emmaus. And 60 furlongs is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. We're not going to read the whole record, but as we know, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus shows up. Verse 14, all the things that had happened. Verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. We'll skip to verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. So they got close to where they were going. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, stay with us, abide with us. For it is toward what? Evening. All right, so it takes a while to walk the 7 miles to Emmaus and for Jesus to teach them and show them all this stuff. He expounded to them. So it's now getting close toward evening. It's probably late in the afternoon. And the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. So that whole time they were talking with Jesus, they didn't know it was Jesus. Just like Mary didn't know it was Jesus and thought it was the gardener. But when they broke bread with him, they realized who it was, and he vanishes out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose up that same hour, immediately. So they'd done all this walking to Emmaus. But as soon as they figured out it was Jesus, they rose up that immediately and went back to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." So this is just kind of put in there. There's no more real explanation for it. But at some point, Jesus had shown himself to Peter. Peter goes down there a second time after the women came back and said, "We saw these angels," and they said, "Christ is up." He goes down, considers everything, and then the record goes on to the road of Emmaus. But somewhere in there, Jesus Christ had shown himself to Peter, apparently. "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told that what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. So they explain everything that had happened. You can go back to Mark chapter 16. So it had already been getting close to even, and they hustled back to Jerusalem to tell them, all excited, "Hey, we saw Jesus Christ too. He is up." They said, "Well, yeah, Peter saw him too." Mark 16, verse 12. "After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country." So that's a very quick synopsis of all that stuff we read in the book. "And they went and told it unto the residue," the rest of them, "neither believed they," what? "Them." So now these guys come out and say, "We walked with Jesus, we ate with him, it was him, Peter saw him." The rest of them do not believe. Matthew chapter 28. I can't believe it. There's no way Jesus Christ is alive. We saw him die. Absolutely not. But some people saw him alive. It was hard to convince people. This is not something that happens every day. People getting up from the dead. Matthew 28, verse 5. "And the angel answered." So we remember before when we were in this section, that verse 1 stood alone. Verses 2 through 4 was just an explanation of how the stone got rolled away. Verse 5 is a completely new thought. The word "and" there is the word "day," D-E, which is the word "but." "But the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear," or with awe and great joy, "and did run to bring the disciples word." Okay, so that's this once again summarizes what we saw in Luke. But it's different from the first verse and from the other three verses. But this is what took place that Sunday morning when the women were there. It also covers that period. Verse 9 is another separate aside. And the first part of the verse is added. The whole phrase is omitted in the original text. "And as they went to tell the disciples," not in there. So the translators added it in confusion, trying to make everything fit. It starts with the word "behold." And as we know, that's a transitionary word to a new thought. "Behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall see me." So this is an aside. At some point, Jesus showed himself to the women also. After they had gone and they had told everybody and they didn't believe them, Jesus, it doesn't give much more detail than this, shows up and presents himself to the women, and they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And he tells them not to be afraid and continue to tell people, I am risen, I will see them in Galilee. Verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into... So that's an aside, it just happens at some point, doesn't give you the exact time frame. But the now when they were going is when, at the same time the women were coming back to tell the disciples, some of the watch came into the city and showed to the chief priests all the things that were done. Remember the guards that fainted, the watch? Well, they make their way back into the city and show and tell the chief priests what happened. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. They bribed them and paid them off, saying, say, this is what you need to say. Get your story straight. His disciples came by night and stole him away while you were sleeping. That's your story. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Because guess what? If they were sleeping and the body was taken under their watch, it was no bueno for them. It would be off with their heads. So they said, if your superiors learn about it, we will tell them what happened and we'll make sure you're safe. We'll secure you. So they took the money, they took the bribe, and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Right? So that was the story that they spun to say that, well, Jesus Christ didn't really get up. They came at night while we were sleeping and stole the body. Okay? So there's now rumors floating around that you can go to John chapter 20. Just about done with the day here. But there's now rumors swirling about that the followers of Jesus came in the night and stole the body. And this is, explains why we're going to read here in verse 19 of John 20. All right, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, so the same day is still that Easter Sunday as we know it, the 18th of Nisan, but now it's the evening. The day is far spent, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. And that's why they were afraid. That's why they were behind closed doors. Because this yarn had been spun that they had gone out and stolen the body. Right? And so they were afraid. They were afraid that the same people who crucified Jesus were going to be coming looking for them. At that same time in the evening came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And we'll finish it up in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We'll get a running start again in verse 34. Saying the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon, and they told him the things that were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit, a ghost. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit or like a ghost has not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Do you here have any meat? And that believe not for joy means, that's like our expression, like, I can't believe it. They were so happy, you know, like, I can't believe it. He's really here. It's really Jesus. At that point, before that, they really didn't believe. Everybody kept telling them they were risen. I saw him, I don't believe you. Now they couldn't believe it for joy because he was really there. And he said, you guys got anything to eat? Good old Jesus. And he gave him a piece of honey, boiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Okay, and then the then there is another transitionary phrase, a different time period. So he breaks bread with them, he eats with them, and he again expounds to them, this is what it meant to be fulfilled. I am risen, and here I am. And that's what went down on Easter. So a lot of people running back and forth, checking up on him, but it's kind of neat to see it all fit together, that there were people who really hungered to know where Jesus Christ was. They wanted to bury him properly. Most of them didn't believe until they actually saw Jesus Christ himself raised from the dead, and he appeared unto a lot of them in many different ways, first to Mary, and then to Peter at some point, and then the other women at some point, and the people on the road to Emmaus, and then all the disciples behind closed doors. But once people saw the risen Christ, then they rejoiced and truly believed that what they had seen.